hope that you'll do it through this festival. You can do it by buying tickets. Please do that. Come and fill the rooms, because it's going to be the spirit of Pittsburgh coming together that will make a difference. But also please donate and know that every time, to make a donation, to buy a ticket, to buy a t-shirt, and to show up and smile at folks, so many people today ask, what can we do? I wish I could do something. We just want to say, it's easy to do good. It's easy to do good. Just do what you can.
And bring your friends and family.
Yes, and strangers.
Thank you. That's Ted and Susan. Brian, I just have to say, you're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM, Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams Radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport. It was either that or fitted in like between the verse and second or chorus of what you're about to play. What would you like to close up with?
So I'm going to do a song. Pardon me. I'm going to do a song called The Lonely Planets.
Here again, Brian Junker. Thanks to all of you for being here today.
Yeah. The lonely planets circling pools of fire in the sky. Feel a thing so far apart when galaxies collide. Though towering gases rip and tear, the lonely planets only stare and yearn for love like you and I. March the stars in silent flight. Each raging furnace just a small spark in the night. And like a sleepy falling star, you rest your head upon my heart till all the sparks dim in the morning light. Each other, all against the sky.
Brian Junker. Brian, thank you for being here. And thanks again also to Susan Spangler and Ted Samarata, who were the ones coordinating and making this all possible. We're grateful for what you're doing. You can learn more at alltogethernowpgh.org. All together now. Let me get it right. This just
it's,
in.
www.alltogetherpgh.
Oh, no now. Okay.
Nonow.com.
Thank you. Alltogetherpgh.com or org.
.com.
Thank you. Altogether PGH. Whew. Glad to correct that. I can tell you the story about giving the wrong phone number to call Saturday morning, which we certainly caused the candy store who had that number to get an awful lot of calls. We are going to talk with some youth coming up from the Youth Shakespeare Society of Pittsburgh. They'll be here with us in a moment.
You're wearing your squeaky shoes, and right there taking a snooze is a tiger. So how do you walk on by? Silently, silently, silent, L-Y. You're a secret agent man who's after the secret plan. How do you act so they don't know you're a spy? Normally, normally, normal, L-Y. At an eating contest, you boast that you can eat the most. How do you down your 50th piece of pie? Eagerly, eagerly, yeah, eager, L-Y. On the lake, your boat upset, and your clothes got soaking wet. How do you stand and wait for them to dry? Patiently, patiently, patient, L-Y. In the public library, you fall and hurt your knee, but the sign says quiet please, so how can you cry?
Quietly, quietly, quiet,
L-Y. As you walk along the street, a porcupine you meet. How do you shake his hand when he says hi?
Carefully, carefully, careful, L-Y.
You enter a very dark room, and sitting there in the gloom is Dracula. Now how do you say goodbye?
Immediately, immediately, immediate L-Y.
Bye-bye. Tom Lehrer on the Saturday Light Brigade. And he passed away just a week ago. In fact, we found out after last week's Saturday Light Brigade ended. And we're playing a lot of his music today. That song simply called L-Y. You can read lyrics and learn more about Tom at TomLehrerSongs.com. L-E-H-R-E-R. TomLehrerSongs.com.
One, two, three.
Hey! We're going to talk in just a moment with Youth Shakespeare Society of Pittsburgh cast members. Their production of The Tempest runs August 15th to August 17th.
Northside Chronicle joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. The Northside Chronicle is a nonprofit community newspaper available in print, digital, and mobile formats that provides coverage of the people, places, and events in the 18 Northside neighborhoods of Pittsburgh. Details on the Northside Chronicle, including its free weekly newsletter, are available at thenorthsidechronicle.com.
It's now my pleasure to welcome students from Youth Shakespeare Society of Pittsburgh. They are going to be presenting their production of The Tempest at Ross Municipal Center Park, August 15th to August 17th. I'm going to have them talk a little bit on their own about the organization and its mission. We have a segment, they have a segment from The Tempest that they'll share, and we'll remind you again of when the production runs. I'd like to begin by just having each of you please introduce yourself, maybe identify yourself by grade, school, and if you have any shout-outs to anybody, this is a great time to do it. And why don't we just go from right to left?
Okay. Hi, my name is Samara. I'm in 10th grade, and I go to ECS.
Hi, my name is Felicia. I am in 12th grade, and I go to City of Bridges High School.
Hi, I'm Cassidy, and I am going to be starting at University of Pittsburgh this month. Wow. hi, Mom. My mom is Cheryl Capizzuti, the puppet lady.
Oh, my goodness. I've known your mom probably since before you were born.
Hi, I'm Sydney. I am homeschooled, and I am going into 11th grade.
Hi, I'm Cam, and I'm also going into 11th grade, and I go to City of Bridges High School.
Well, it's nice to meet all of you. So I'd like to know a little bit about Youth Shakespeare Society of Pittsburgh, and I'd like to just turn it over to you all to talk a bit about it. The one thing is, this is different than a bunch of adults deciding we're going to put on Shakespeare and we're going to organize this. You all do all of the work in getting this done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so YSSP works with youth aged like 12 through 22. And so that's like pretty much everyone who's involved with like the production, like actors, designers, directors, stage managers, production managers. And then that's also like including the people in charge of the company. I think our two like leaders right now are 22 years old. So we don't really have anyone over that age. Sometimes we make like a few exceptions. But it's a very like close-knit community. And we really are just trying to like bring Shakespeare and his work in to like public access for the youth of Pittsburgh. Because I think a lot of times for young people interested in acting or the theatrical process in general, there's a lot of emphasis on musical theater, which is great. But I think like artists like Shakespeare are like equally important to like learn about and be able to perform. So yeah, it's a lot of fun to just be given that opportunity and get to work with the playwright or not the playwright, but his work. That would be really cool. But yeah.
Anybody want to add anything?
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. It's also outside of schools, which is nice. I'm homeschooled, so I don't really get much of an opportunity. So this is for everybody to come, no matter where they go to school or if they go to school, to come and learn about Shakespeare and his works and learn it in an intuitive way.
That's a very good point. You heard from Felicia, and that was Sydney, who you just heard from. Anybody else want to add anything? I guess just about how Youth Shakespeare is different. The organization presents things differently.
Yeah, totally. I'm Cassidy. I definitely think that it's like really refreshing to work with Youth Shakespeare Society of Pittsburgh because of how collaborative it is. Like, I get an opportunity to work with a bunch of people that I wouldn't necessarily work with, but also, like, I don't know, it just feels different to be able to like bounce ideas off of so many people and all work together, as opposed to, I don't know, just like being told what to do by a director.
Yeah, it sounds like the power dynamic, even no matter how respectful an adult is going to be, they're still an adult, mm-hmm. and in most cases, a teacher. But here, it's all peers putting this together. I mean, did you all figure out, choose the play, choose how to promote it, choose the venue? It's really the entire thing. That's a lot of work.
Yes, it is.
Do you want to add anything at all, Samara? It may have all been covered at this point.
I think it has, but also this is the first play that I've done, so I'm not really that knowledgeable about the organization, I guess.
Well, you're knowledgeable about what it feels like to be a newcomer. How has it been?
It's been really fun. I agree. I feel like it's been very collaborative with everyone, and everyone can sort of just like bounce ideas off of each other, which I like. Yeah.
Excellent. And who hasn't? Let's see. We heard from Cam, did we? No, I didn't think so. Anything you want to add?
Of course, of course. This is my first play experience with YSSP, but I've worked in a theater for a very, very long time. So I think it's very, very lovely to be able to do something, as Samara and Cassidy said, that's so collaborative. Because a lot of the shows that I've worked on before are very, you know, just sort of get told what to do and when you do it. And that has its place in theater. But I think it's really nice to have something where you can all work together on something. And as Felicia also said, love me some musical theater, but I'm definitely an actor first, singer and dancer second. So it's also nice to have the opportunity to do something that is just straight theater, a straight play, because that's like more rare nowadays. And I think it's all really beautiful. I've had such a good time.
I'm glad you shared that. Now I'm going to turn to, Felicia and Cassidy, because I think you both are involved in directing and some of the behind the scenes. Although you have small parts in the play, you've been in those roles. Has anything been especially challenging to you, something you weren't expecting to be as hard as it's been?
Totally. Well, so this is my first directing experience pretty much ever. So this is like a pretty steep learning curve for me. But I do feel very supported, obviously. But it's sort of because like at first I was like, I'm an actor and I know that I take direction very well. But so I was like, it'll be easy to reverse engineer that to use to be able to direct and have the actors like get it the way that I want them to while still like allowing creativity, you know. But it's a lot more difficult than you think. Like, everybody says all directors are actors too, but it's true, but also they are also directors and they need to work on that. So I'm still learning, and that's been a little bit tricky.
What about you, Felicia?
Yeah, I've directed a little bit before, but this is my first like full-length production that I'm directing. And really learning how to like block a scene is really tricky. I feel like that's at the core of like directing. But there are just so many different methods. Like a lot of people pre-block, and like write everything that they want to be done down beforehand and just like give it to the actors. But then it's like a thing of like, okay, do we want to like read over the scene beforehand and give the actors all of the blocking and then have them do it and watch, or like do it by chunks, or have them kind of run through it and give them like advice and like little blocking ideas, but like really like rely on the actor's intuition. I think we've used a few different methods, but we've kind of like settled on one and it's been going pretty well. But like figuring out blocking was definitely something in the beginning of the process.
Those are all things I never would have thought about. What about the public-facing parts of this, not working with the actors, but just advertising it and getting people in seats. Is that hard?
Yeah.
Yes. It's a lot. We have like a production team, and we have a production manager, which is amazing. We have like a social media director. So there are people to take some of these roles and like do some of the work. So we're not doing all of this as directors. But we've definitely like I've made a few posts myself and posted them. I think, our production manager reached out to you about doing this, but, like, just, like, events like these and, like, just making sure that, like, the production is getting out there is something that we have to keep in the back of our minds as we're directing and be like, hey, production team, let's remember to try to get the news out that we're doing the show.
I have one more question, and then you are going to do a scene for us. Have you taken any creative license with The Tempest? Have you modernized it, shortened it, or, you know, given it your own style?
Yeah. So we didn't actually cut it a ton because it wasn't much over, like, 80 pages, which is really rare for, like, one of Shakespeare's plays. Mm-hmm. Usually the cutting process is really long and tedious. But we cut it a little bit. And we... kind of thinking about the island as more of a character than I think it usually is. And I think we're thinking about it a lot in terms of like colonization and power as like exploitative. And we're thinking about like different kinds of power with like illusionary magic versus like physical like power versus like authority. And also seeing the island as like a kind of circus with Prospero, who's like the protagonist, and the wizard who rules the island being kind of like a ringmaster on this circus of like illusion. Because the whole play feels like very performative and the magic in it feels very performative, which is fun to play around with. We also are using shadow puppets to kind of add to that feeling of like whimsy but like uncertainty for the audience. And then 'cause so much of like... it's like there's something magical going on here, but we can't see what's really going on because we just see these shadows. So that's been a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Now, the play, the Youth Shakespeare Society of Pittsburgh production of The Tempest, is at Ross Municipal Center Park August 15th to August 17th, and it's outdoors.
Yeah.
Right? So that's something else that's unusual. Well, Shakespeare in the Park is done in a number of places, but for you guys, it's kind of neat that you're going to be out there. It's at 7:30 on this date, August 15th, 16th, and 17th. We'll give you the website in a moment, but right now, let's give you a taste of a scene. Does anybody need, would it help to set this up so people know what's going on?
Oh, yeah, probably. Okay, so yeah, I'll give like a little brief summary. So in this scene, which is Act 3, Scene 1, we get the two young lovers, Ferdinand and Miranda, who are played by Sydney and Samara, who have recently met, like, probably an hour ago. And they're like... And Miranda, who's Samara, is the daughter of Prospero, our protagonist, who is played by Cam... And Cam is very controlling of her and doesn't want her hanging out with this shipwrecked prince. And so Prospero is making Ferdinand carry logs from one pile to the other. And Miranda is very distraught about the fact that her father is making him do such a ridiculous task.
That was a great setup for this. So you're going to get to hear this now live on the radio, and I'm ready if you are.
Yes. There be some sports are painful, and their labor's delights in them sets off. Some kind of baseness are nobly undergone, and most poor matters point to rich ends. This, my mean task, would be as heavy to me as odious. The mistress which I serve quickens what's dead and makes my labor's pleasures. Oh, she's 10 times more gentle than her father's crab, and he's composed of harshness. I must remove some thousands of these logs and carry them to the pile upon a sworn junction. My sweet mistress weeps when she sees me work and says such baseness had never like executor. I forget, but these sweet thoughts do even refresh my labors, most busy lest when I do it.
Alas, now, pray you, work not so hard. I would the lightning had burnt up these logs that you were enjoined to pile. Pray now, set it down and rest you. When these burn, 'twill weep for having worried you. My father is hard at study. Pray now, rest yourself. He's safe for these 3 hours.
Oh, most dear mistress, the sun will set before I shall discharge what I must strive to do.
If you'll set it down, I'll bear your logs the while. Pray, give me that. I'll carry it to the pile.
No, precious creature, I'd rather crack my sinews, break my back, than you should such dishonor undergo while I sit lazy by.
It would become me, as well as it does you, and I shall do it with much more ease, for my good will is to it, and yours it is against.
Poor worm, thou art infected. This visitation shows it.
You look warily.
No, noble mistress, 'tis fresh morning with me when you are by at night. But I do beseech you, chiefly that I may sit in my prayers. What is your name?
Miranda. Oh, my father, I have broken your haste to say so.
Admired Miranda, indeed the top of admiration, worth what's dearest to the world. Full many a lady have I eyed with best regards, and many a time the harmony of their tongue hath into bondage brought my too diligent ear. For several virtues have I liked several women, never any with so full a soul, but some defect in her did quarrel for the noblest grace she owed, and put it to the foil. But you, oh you, so perfect and so peerless, you are creative every creature's best.
Oh, I don't know what of my sex, no woman's face, remember, save from my glass, mine own, nor have I seen more than a man than I may call you, good friend, and my dear father, how features are bored. I am skillless of, but by my modesty, the jeweler and my dwarf, I would not wish any company in the world but you, nor can I imagine form a shape besides yourself to like of. But I prattle something too wildly, and my father's precepts I therein do forget.
I am in my condition a prince, Miranda. I do think a king I would not so, and would no more endure this wooden slavery than to suffer a flesh fly blow my mouth. Hear my soul speak. The very instant that I saw you did my heart fly to your service. There resides to make me slave to it. And for your sake am I this patient log man.
Do you love me?
Oh, heaven, oh, earth, bear witness to the sound, and crown it I profess with kind of end, if I speak true. If holly invert would best his body me to mischief. I, beyond all limits of what else, do love, prize, honor you.
I'm a fool to weep at what I am glad of.
Fair encounter of two most rare affections. Heaven's rain grace on that which breeds between them.
Wherefore weep you?
At mine worthiness, that dare not offer what I deserve to give, and much less take what I shall die to want. But this is trifling, and all the more it seeks to hide itself, the bigger bulk it shows. Hence, bashful cunning, and prompt me, plain and holy innocence. Am I your wife, if you'll marry me? If not, I'll die your maid to be your fellow. You may deny me, but I'll be your servant, whether you will or no.
My mistress dearest, and I thus ever humble.
My husband, then?
I, with a heart as willing as bondage e'er of freedom. Here's my hand.
And mine, with my heart in it. And now, farewell, till half an hour hence.
1,000,000.
So glad of this as they, I cannot be, who are surprised befall. But my rejoicing at nothing can be more. I'll to my book, for yet ere supper time must I perform much business appertaining.
There you have it.
There you have it. You Shakespeare, Society of Pittsburgh, you did a great job, and you still have a few weeks to go to perfect everything that you're doing. YouthShakespearePGH.org is where you can go to get more information. YouthShakespearePGH.org. I'm sure this is not the perfect time to do what I'm about to say, but if youth want to get involved in a future production, I'm sure you're always looking for additional youth.
Yeah,
always.
Excellent. Did anybody want to say anything they did not get a chance to?
I don't
think so. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Our pleasure. Here's hoping the production goes well. Again, it's August 15th to August 17th at Ross Municipal Center Park, and youthshakespearepgh.org is how you can learn more about Youth Shakespeare Society of Pittsburgh. Thanks.
Thank you.
Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Chad Green, Todd Kurowski, Ella Storm, and Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions.
I'll sing a song, sing rickety-tickety-tin. About a maid I'll sing a song who didn't have her family long. Not only did she do them wrong, she did every one of them in. She did every one of them in. One morning in a fit of pique, sing rickety-tickety-tin. One morning in a fit of pique, she drowned her father in the creek. The water tasted bad for a week, and we had to make do with gin, with gin. We had to make do with gin. Her mother, she could never stand, sing rickety-tickety-tin. Her mother, she could never stand, and so a cyanide soup she planned. The mother died with a spoon in her hand, and her face in a hideous grin, a grin. Her face in a hideous grin. She set her sister's hair on fire, rickety-tickety-tin. She set her sister's hair on fire, and as the smoke and flame rose higher, danced around the funeral pyre, playing a violin, olin, playing a violin. She weighted her brother down with stones, rickety-tickety-tin. She weighted her brother down with stones and sent him off to Davy Jones. All they ever found were some bones and occasional pieces of skin, of skin. Occasional pieces of skin. One day when she had nothing to do, rickety-tickety-tin. One day when she had nothing to do, she cut her baby brother in two and served him up as an Irish stew. And invited the neighbors in, boys in, invited the neighbors in. And when at last the police came by, rickety-tickety-tin. And when at last the police came by, her little pranks she did not deny. To do so she would have had to lie. And lying she knew was a sin, a sin. Lying she knew was a sin. Tragic tale I won't prolong, rickety-tickety-tin. My tragic tale I won't prolong, and if you do not enjoy my song, you've yourselves to blame if it's too long. You should never have let me begin, begin. You should never have let me begin.
The late Tom Lehrer at the Saturday Light Brigade. And rickety-tickety-t 10. Amazingly, Walker Evans of the Carnegie, the Andrew Carnegie Free Library and Music Hall, mentioned that his dad sang that song to him. What a great childhood. That's a wonderful thing to hear. We'll have more from Tom Lehrer throughout the morning. Also, in our next hour, Orange G is going to be performing live. And we're grateful for you being here this morning.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from the Allegheny Regional Asset District, putting Allegheny County sales tax dollars to work in regional libraries, parks, sports facilities, and arts and culture programs. Learn more at radworkshere.org.
I am really curious to speak with the people who you are about to meet. They are here to talk about a native plants teaching garden. This was an Eagle Scout project done by a library regular, somebody who appreciates Andrew Carnegie Free Library and Music Hall. And his name is Jackson Keeney. Jackson, welcome. Do you remember what attracted you to the library? I imagine you've been going there for a long time.
Yeah, I've been going there since I was about 18 months old. Yeah. I think the original reason that my mom and I went there for the first time was because we thought, oh, they'll have air conditioning there. They didn't at the time. We found that out the hard way. But yeah, I've been going there for as long as I can remember.
Have some of the librarians been there that long?
Oh yeah, we've had multiple people that are like, oh, I remember when you were such a little guy. Yeah, the now retired executive director knows me really well, and she's been around for more things than...
That's not Maggie, is it?
Yeah, it's Maggie.
I know Maggie quite well, and I didn't realize she retired. That's Maggie Forbes, who we're mentioning. Now, also here is library director Walker Evans. You, I'm sure, had a chance to get to know Jackson.
Yes, indeed. In fact, very early on in my tenure as library director, Maggie made sure to introduce me to Jack. I remember her bursting into my office and saying, come out, you must meet Jack. It was very important. And I'm so glad that she did, because I was, you know, at the time, I think this would have been about 5-6 years ago, I was very impressed by, you know, what a self-possessed and interesting and curious person Jack was. And it's been a real pleasure to, you know, see him grow and change over the years, and very gratified and humbled to have him approach us with this project.
Now, also somebody who assisted Jack is here. And Jack, I'd like you to introduce the person on your left, and then we'll hear from him.
Yes, this is Chris Litherland, who helped us with all of our native plant needs. I believe in my paperwork that I had to do, I referred to him as a amateur native plant expert.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Jackson came to me because I've been trying to bug the library for like years to do a native plant garden. And finally, through his Eagle Scout project, we were able to do that. But I've been native plant gardening for about 3 or 4 years now. My my house was all just a lawn, and I killed it all, and it's all native plants, 320 or some odd species of native plants in my yard. So it's helped out the pollinator population a lot, and I just wish that everyone would kind of do this to their yards.
We did, and we did the same thing, Ricky and I. And it's, other than the invasives, which want to come in and we need to keep after, it's amazing how it can completely change how you feel about your yard and just what it does for the ecosystem. It's a terrific thing. And it's not, well, I was going to say it's not hard. It does require some effort, but it's about
it's very rewarding.
Yeah, eliminating grass and replacing it with natives, I suspect it requires a lot of buy-in first, and then a lot of planning. Jack, can you talk a bit about kind of how the project went from start to finish?
Yeah, well, I came to the library and really asked them, like, hey, what all do you want? Like, I want to do my Eagle Scout project here. What all are you looking for? And Walker, as well as a few of the other directors, met with me and brought up, we have an idea to put in a native plant garden. And I was like, okay, that sounds great. And so I think might have been like that evening, I went home and started typing up a proposal, because for my Eagle Scout project, we have to submit a proposal before we do anything and get it looked at by the advancement chair for the council. And I got that done. Like, really soon after I got it approved, we were all ready to get started. We actually got a grant. We applied for a grant, if you want to talk about that, some Walker.
I would love to recognize and thank the generosity of the Gismondi Foundation. For a number of years, they have provided a grant program to Allegheny County Libraries called the VITAL program, which stands for Versatile Investment to Area Libraries. We've benefited from their funding for several projects in the past, and this seemed like a really good fit. They were very generous, and we're extremely grateful to them.
So the folks at Scouting USA, I guess, they approved your proposal, or did they have any feedback on it?
I didn't really get too much feedback, but we did get it approved, and then the next step was connecting with Chris and getting input as far as what plants we should get. And reality, he sent me via email a list of 30 native plants that he thought would go well in the garden area with like everything that we had, because it's in a very sunny, dry area.
Lots of deer.
Yeah.
Yes. I can imagine. So what are some of the plants that you chose?
Well, we have some Ohio spiderwort, a bunch of different kinds of asters, including the aromatic aster, the New England aster, and late purple aster. We also have wild petunias, golden alexanders, some Husker red, which I don't really know what that one looks like, but I know we have it in there. And then my personal favorite, we have the Mexican hat plant. Really, a really neat plant.
Mexican coneflower.
Yeah.
Huh.
Rudbeckia fulgida, I believe, is a scientific name.
Are these all perennials? I didn't know that you could have a petunia that was a perennial. That's neat.
Some of them are biannuals, so they will just die and they'll reseed. I think that one is a biannual plant.
Twice a year?
Yeah, it comes up. Usually in the first year, it's really, really small. The second year, it gets pretty big, and then it reseeds and dies.
So, Jack, if the library suggested this is something they needed help on, which I think is significant. This wasn't that you had a passion for creating a native garden or a garden of native plants. You were responding to a community need, which is very significant.
Yeah.
In essence, are providing service to somebody that was looking for something that they had not been able to make happen. How did you think about gardening prior to all of this?
I thought it was a lot simpler than it turned out to be. You know, you plant something, you water it every now and then, and it grows. Yeah, no, it's a lot more complicated than that. You have to think about, like, structure and the kind of soil that you have and what the weather's going to be like. Like I said, we planted a bunch of stuff that's supposed to withstand dry, like, dry climate. And then it rained all summer. So then it's rained for, like, a ton of the time.
Yeah.
So
followed by a lot of heat.
Yes. And,
when did the plants go in?
They went in on May 15th, I think.
Yeah.
May 15th.
Oh, so it's been relatively
And they're already pretty big.
Recent.
So, yeah. I mean, they were like 6 inches tall when we planted them, and they're already, some of them are already 4 feet tall. So they grow pretty quick.
That's amazing. Chris, do you live in the area?
Carnegie. So yeah. I'm only like half a mile away from the library.
Yeah, you're there as well. Walker, did any library patrons or neighbors express concerns such as, where's all the grass going? What are you doing? Was there any, I doubt there was a protest, but did you find people curious about the project?
People have certainly been curious, yes. And I'll say that folks are not entirely unused to seeing change outside of our building. We had a big project in 2022 where we put in something we call Library Park, which encompasses a lovely walkway up our hillside, a lot of new tree plantings and things. So, you know, change outside of the building isn't unheard of. The other aspect of this is that it's not our entire, you know, our whole amount of grass that's been replaced. It's a relatively small area. And, you know, our hope, we've talked about, you know, maybe wanting to expand more, you know, similar projects in the future, possibly. But for the time being, it's small, it's self-contained. But people are certainly interested and curious about it. We've gotten many questions about what's going on with the plants outside.
That's wonderful. Jackson, have you been helping at all with explaining what's going on or helping the community understand what it
yeah.
is you've done?
Well, we put up a really nice sign, actually. Shout out to my grandfather and his friends working at the High Point at Rebecca wood shop that they have there. They built this really nice sign. It's like 6 feet tall or something like that and has a whole bunch of information. It has the list of plants that we put in, and it has information about some of them. I actually put a QR code on it that goes to the Lady Bird Johnson Wildflower Center, which has a list of all different kinds of native plants.
What a good idea to do that, because you're probably inspiring people to want to replicate this, and that's, you're thinking, Chris, that's what you'd like to see happen.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure that next year when it's all big and beautiful that everyone will be walking by and seeing that they can also do that with their yards as well. So that's what it's all about, spreading the word.
What happens after Eagle Scouts?
So once the project is done, I still have to get a few merit badges, and then I will have an Eagle Scout Court of Honor, which basically is the big celebration of, hey, you did this thing that took you so many years of your life. After that, it's really just having fun with scouts, more camping, more outdoor activities. There's different societies I know, such as the Order of the Arrow, which I am already a member of, but on top of that, there's the National Eagle Scouts Association, which you become a member of after getting your Eagle Scout.
Some folks might be wondering about the relevancy of scouting. I'm not. I've met enough scouts over the years, but I'm curious, how has scouting made a difference in your life?
I'd say scouting has provided me with like a way to both show support for my country and also my community through service and through other really fun activities. Like I mentioned, camping. We go on a lot of campouts. We go fishing every now and then. Just a ton of fun activities that both allow you to support your community, your country, and your friends.
Do you know, you're going into 11th grade at
yes.
Carleton. Do you know what you might like to do after graduation?
I'm looking into engineering as a field that I'd want to go into. Either that or teaching mathematics at the high school level is another option. But yeah, so this project, unlike many, has absolutely nothing to do with my future plans. But yeah, it's something that I wanted to do to help the community at the library's request. Because that's the other thing with an Eagle Scout project. It's not necessarily about what you want to do. It's what the beneficiary needs done or wants done. And that's why I originally went to them and said, hey, what do you need me to do? Because I wanted to do something that I knew that the community and the library itself would enjoy.
It sounds like you're also, I mean, I'm sure you got help from Chris and from Walker, but this is pretty much self-guided. You're making the decisions. You're not, I don't think, you're having to meet specific deadlines or it's really self-implemented and directed. I see a lot of nodding heads. I'm sure you wanted to get things planted by a certain time, but it's not like you're part of a bunch of rising Eagle Scouts that are all doing things in parallel with one another. Is that?
Yeah. Both fortunately and also unfortunately, I did have to make all of the decisions. Well, not all of them. Chris helped pick out the plants. Again, he's good at that. He's really good at that.
Oh, and a shout out to Arcadian Natives. That's where we got most of our plants from. Mm-hmm. And they just got their nursery destroyed by a flood last Saturday. So if you can go online, you can donate to Arcadian Natives because she's one of the only native plant nurseries in Pittsburgh other than the Audubon Society that sells native plants.
Oh, that's a shame. Where are they located?
Just south of Washington. I think she's going to open up, but she does need donations and stuff. But it's amazing. She has hundreds and hundreds of different plant species that you can choose from.
If you're just joining us, we are talking about a native plant garden, and it's a teaching garden at Andrew Carnegie Free Library and Music Hall. And Jack Keeney is, are you now an Eagle Scout?
Not yet. I still have probably another.
You have some badges.
Yeah, right? I have some badges to get. I probably have another year's worth of work, but after that I will be.
And this is his project. You just heard Chris Litterland, who helped with the native plants. And Walker Evans is here too. Not to turn the focus away from Jack too much, I was talking about relevance of scouting. Relevance of libraries is something I feel pretty passionate about, and I think the community does too. Are you seeing some trends in use of the library?
I will say that we are so fortunate in Carnegie to have a history that's so closely intertwined with that of our community. Carnegie named itself after Andrew Carnegie when the two boroughs of Chartiers and Mansfield merged into one, and that is what led to the gift of the library to the community. It's been open since 1901. In that 126 years, we've served generations of community members, and one of the real things that I enjoy about my work is when folks come in and share their memories of, you know, I've been in this building for my entire life. You know, I remember coming here, you know, 60 years ago with my grandparents, that sort of thing. It's you know, very humbling to be a part of a long tradition like that. And so we've enjoyed great support from our community over the years. Certainly in recent years, I would say the library has only grown by leaps and bounds. We see very regular traffic through the building. Our visits to the building have increased steadily for the 6 years that I've been at the library. Our circulation is very strong. People are still checking out a lot of books, both in physical form and, you know, digital e-books and other online content. And more than that, the library really serves as a community center in Carnegie in a lot of ways. We offer a lot of programming for children, a lot of programming for teens and adults. We're always trying to be proactively responsive to the needs that we see in our community, particularly as we see demographics changing. Our immigrant population has grown dramatically in Carnegie for the last few years, so that's an area where we're focusing a lot of attention. And I'll mention, too, we have a wonderful partnership with PITCH through ACLA, which is the Allegheny County Library Association, through which we have a social worker who joins us at the library each year and can provide really in-depth and expert assistance to patrons who may be in need of food resources, housing resources, looking for work, all things that are really relevant and materially impactful on people's lives. So we're happy to be continuing to do this work, and we're glad to have the support that we have. We definitely understand its importance and how vital it is.
Jack, I noticed you smiling when Walker mentioned the notion of spending your whole life in the library. Yeah. You've been there since you were a year and a half or so.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, you know, as you've grown, the library has kept up in being able to serve you. How do you use the library these days?
Right now, I use it as a place to, well, I mean, other than as my Equal Scout Project beneficiary, of course, a place to go to meet people. I use it as a library, too, to check out books. And I've been up there for different events. My mom and I are a part of a book club that Walker runs up there. It's a part of me, pretty much.
That's great to hear. I knew our time was going to go by very quickly. Yeah. Does anybody want to add anything that I may have not given you space to say?
One thing before we go off, I want to plug my troop, Troop 148 of Crafton, PA, for all of their support and help with this project and for keeping me in it in my difficult times and in my fun. Also, Chris, you're an Eagle Scout, correct?
Yes, I'm also an Eagle Scout.
I was wondering about that.
And Walker, yes. you were a scout as well.
Yes, I never quite made it, but but I have very fond memories of my time in scouting.
Yes, I think I made it to Weeblo's, maybe Weeblo elect, but I did not make it beyond that. So what you've done, really, the perseverance, it's commendable to be part of something larger than yourself and to accomplish what you've done.
Thank you.
Yes.
Any other parting words?
If we can do this, anyone can do this to their yards, plant a native garden, so...
And I'd like to mention, too, we'll be holding an opening event, a formal opening for this garden, on Saturday, August 23rd at 11 o'clock. That'll be at the library in Carnegie, 300 Beechwood Avenue. And just some light refreshments, a little bit of education about the plants, and a celebration of a job well done.
Perhaps we'll see if we can send one of our teen reporters out to cover that from that program. I think it could be a good story.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I'll mention that. Thank you to all of you, Jack Keeney, Chris Litterland, and Walker Evans. Congratulations, Jack.
Thank you.
Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, you're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, Ohio, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia Mountain Streams, radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM, McKeesport, and SLB Radio.